Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, today with my super fabulous from Philly co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
And we are coming up on the new year. So we know that this time of year, a lot of people have those New Year's resolutions. So typically what happens in the fitness world is that people gain a bunch of weight from Halloween candy to New Year's champagne and everything in between, holiday parties, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And so we know that this is usually a time of the year that we kind of reflect back on 2019 and then try to set goals moving forward into 2020 to have the best year yet. So hopefully you are able to not be one of those people that, you know, the average American, I think they gain like 10 to 13 pounds during that time frame. So hopefully you are able to maintain and eat for your goals and live the prep life. But I still feel like there is so much value in evaluating the year that has passed and then just kind of recalibrating and setting new goals. So both Chris and I, we know that we had last year a similar episode in which we spoke about SMART goals and kind of a push goal. And so we just love Chalene Johnson, and I think that she has great insight when it comes to goal setting. So I will put in the show notes a couple of different podcasts that that you can reference if you want to dive a little bit deeper. She has journals and things like that that kind of help guide you through a 90-day process. But for us, we are going to talk with you about how to put your year in review. So what you're going to do is there are 10 key aspects of our lives that we kind of focus on here, and you're going to give yourself a rating. And you can even break this down January through December. Every month it may be different, but you're going to give yourself a rating 1 through 10. And then at the end of the year, so if you decide to rate each month separately and give them a 1 being the absolute worst, you could have done way better, and then a 10 being the absolute best that you could, you're going to kind of give those categories an average. And then so we'll kind of go over what to do from there after we go through the 10 areas. So grab a pen and paper if you're that kind of person. I suggest, you know, you play it back to just kind of take notes so that you can go through this exercise. If you're driving in the car or you're powering through some cardio, then obviously you can kind of mentally think about what are some areas that you can improve on. So I'm going to start with the first area, and that is a financial goal or area for improvement. So did you save enough money this year in 2019? Do you have enough streams of income to make your finances work for you? Are you comfortable? Are you in debt? So these are some things that I want you to think about. And then go ahead and give yourself a rating. So, Chris, do you have anything to add on the financial aspect of some things that they can think of?
No, I think that just covering your expenses and your budget is a great way to self-evaluate.
Perfect. All right. Do you want to go with another avenue of goal setting?
Okay, so after we look at your finances, let's talk about your physical health. So we want to look at, you know, your strength or your performance in the gym, your consistency. You even want to consider like cardiovascular health. And another key aspect that I thought was really interesting to kind of think about is your immunity. Or like your overall health, especially in combating like sicknesses, like were you, you know, catching colds a lot? Were you just like struggling with feeling your best physically overall? So evaluating your physical health for the year is another great thing to look back on.
Yeah, and so when you kind of reflect on that, we'll get into kind of what we're setting for 2020. So we'll go through these and kind of describe them. We want you to reflect 2019, and then we're going to revisit these and kind of see what we're going to shoot for and give some like suggestions or some examples anecdotally. So the third area would be your mental wellness. And this could be how you dealt with stress over the year. Did you experience depression, anxiety? Did you have really good mental well-being? Were you happy? Things like that. And then number four, do you want to take that one?
Yeah. So number four is your environment. So think about the most, the place that you spend most of your time in and how that environment makes you feel. So you can think about your workplace. You can think about, you know, your vehicle that you drive in, your home, and kind of evaluate your feelings around that place. Is it cluttered? Does it make you feel stressed? Is it, you know, like how does it affect you in your productivity or even emotionally? So environment is number four.
Yeah. And does your closet or your garage give you anxiety, or, you know, how organized are you? Do you have, you know, clutter spaces? Do you have like things that just are, you have to look at constantly every day and kind of see like a pile of mess? Where it gives you that low level anxiety constantly. So, yeah, environment is a really big one. And since I work at home, it's, you know, I have to think about that, that this is where I work from. It's my job as well as, you know, the place that I live. So the majority of my time spent here. And I think for you, Chris, probably it might be your car. I don't know. With your commute, but yeah. Anyways,
spend so much time in my car too.
So number five is like your hobbies, your kind of restorative activities. So for me, a really big one on this one for me is always travel. So I like to get into the sun. I like to explore new places. That's something that really fills my cup. And it's a really good time for my family as well. Maybe you're a person unlike me that likes to ski or do something like that, but it's getting out in nature. I like to do hikes and, you know, see the ocean and walk beaches. Maybe you're more of a person that likes to ride your motorcycle or, you like to cycle outside. Maybe you're big into yoga. But these kind of things that, and it could even be something totally different as like, maybe you're crafty, and you like sewing or knitting or whatever it may be. I'm not that person, but, any kind of hobby that you have that is, outside of that. Did I miss anything on that one, Chris?
No, that was great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you take number six.
So yeah. So our next one is our romantic life. So you want to think about your romantic relationship, about your, actually your satisfaction with however your current situation is, whether you are married, you're dating, or even if you're single, and how you are feeling around that situation. So I'll speak for single people. You want to think about, are you, you know, happy in your current situation? Are you feeling like content and confident? Do you feel like maybe you should put yourself out there a little bit more? Just kind of self-evaluating on that aspect. Amy, I'm sure you could speak on a little bit more with people involved in relationships currently.
Yeah. So when I was doing this practice, I kind of looked to see, date night is really important to me. And the previous year, I really made it a top priority that I always had one planned night, date night with my husband. And I've noticed after reviewing 2019 that I haven't done a great job in this area. So we did go on an anniversary trip that was really special for our 15th anniversary. So that was really big, but I felt like we should have been more intentional in planning just the two of us. You know, we tended to gravitate towards hanging out with the kids, but this is totally separate. So how much are you pouring into your romantic life? How much attention are you giving it? Are you satisfied? Maybe even though you got out of a toxic relationship, that could be something that you still give your romantic relationships a high rating because you got rid of that negative situation. So just kind of evaluating that. And then the next one, and again, this is totally separate from your spouse or like a significant other. It's your time with your family and your friendships. So people that lift you up and that are like-minded, are you spending quality time with them? Are you seeing your immediate family, like aunts, uncles, your parents, siblings, things like that? So outside of kind of like your core family that you see all the time, are you spending intentional time to build those relationships up? Do you have anything to add on that one?
No, I love that. I think that's so important.
Okay. So number eight for you.
Yeah. And so our next one is talking about your purpose. So do you feel like in your everyday life or within the past year that you are doing what you have been created to do or what you were made to do? I think there's a big difference between just working to work and working with purpose. There's like a different fulfillment there. So I think it's really important to evaluate that as well. A good way to think about it is, you know, did you impact or help other people? Do you feel like you're doing things that matter? So really evaluating a lot of your efforts over the past year and looking at it as far as defining your purpose is number eight.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people, I don't know, sometimes I tend to gravitate towards thinking about that as like doing volunteer work and things like that. But that's not necessarily just the only case. You can be working and making money and still making an impact. So your career or like for you, Chris, like going to school, I'm sure that that gives you a lot of fulfillment knowing that you are going, you're doing these daily activities in class, you're working hard so that you can have a greater impact on other people in the area of dietetics.
Right.
I don't want to speak for you, but I mean, I know for me, like I wake up every day and I'm like, I don't feel like I'm truly working per se because although I really enjoy what I do, it's just, I feel like it has a greater purpose that I was put on this earth to help other people in their fitness journeys. And so for me, that's really fulfilling. Anything
Absolutely.
Else to add on that?
No, I would agree with that. I feel like coaching is very, very purposeful and very fulfilling that way. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Okay. And so number nine is spirituality. And so you may not, believe in a higher power, but, this could be one area that you could evaluate yourself. You know, whether you're Jewish, Muslim, like Christian, whatever it may be, are you connecting to a higher power? Do you have anything to add on that one? I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Nope, I think that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the last one?
And then personal growth is the last one you want to think about. So did you take any feedback from people? Like how did you do with criticism? Did you do anything to help educate yourself or grow in a personal growth aspect, whether that's reading a book or listening to podcasts, doing some exercises. Did you work on, basically, did you do anything to be a better human? I think that's a great way to kind of look at your personality and how you were effective in that manner over the past year.
Awesome. Yes. Very good. So we now want you to take some time, you know, maybe after this podcast to kind of look at all 10 of those areas, play it back, put it on hyperspeed, whatever you need to do. Write those down and then give yourselves ratings. And then you're going to take a look at the two categories that you scored the lowest in. And you're going to try to pick one that is the most important to you. So just to give you an example, like, let's say, I'm trying to think. What were you, do you mind giving an example of what yours, your lowest was, if you don't mind? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That might be more helpful to the listeners, yeah, just to kind of hear.
Like, so hobbies and restorative were, that was the absolute lowest online. I think I just have a tendency to always fill up my schedule with work, which work is not a bad thing, but I was kind of finding that was a commonality between a lot of things that were low, is that, like, if I wasn't taking care of myself or I wasn't, you know, having like social outings or experiencing something new or even just taking care of myself as far as like relaxing, it was impacting other areas in my review. So yeah, restorative was definitely like my lowest one. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. So if you can hear what she's saying, like, she had a couple that were low, but that was the one that was basically the most important because it could basically affect pretty much all of the list. Is that what you're trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't take good care of myself. I feel like my relationships with family and friends suffer. I feel like my overall work just suffers. Everything else just kind of like is less than my full effort. And that is frustrating. So that affects like how I feel with my purpose. So yeah, it was finding that like really taking time for myself and making sure I was fulfilling what I needed in a restorative way was really going to impact the other things.
Yeah. And I'll just share with you personally, my lowest was friendship and family and spending quality time with those people, because that really fills up my cup. I did not do a good job this year of really planning things out. I feel like my tipping scale of harmony was a little off in the social aspects of hanging out with friends that are like-minded. I tend to work really, really hard, and mm-hmm. I do, you know, value that purpose in life, and I also value my physical being. So both of those areas, I worked really hard, and I scored really high just in the fact that I was focused on, you know, developing our athletes in the Glamour Girl community and then developing myself as an athlete. I feel like that got put on the back burner a little bit. So, So taking a look at that as a low score, I want to push all of you, no pun intended, to come up with a push goal and to make that a SMART goal. So let's go over what a SMART goal is. So I'll start. The S is specific. So if you had, let's say you rated yourself really low in the physical or wellness category. So something that you're going to want to do is not just say, I want to lose weight. You're going to want to be very specific. And whether it's, you know, I want to lose 10 pounds, I want to decrease my body fat by 5%, whatever it may be, you need to make sure it's specific. Mm-hmm. Do you want to take M?
Yeah. So okay. M is for measurable. So when you are setting that goal, you want to make sure that there is some way to evaluate the progress. So that's why like being specific makes so much sense to like piggyback onto measurable. So if we're using the same analogy of you're wanting to lose weight, a way to measure that would be the scale. Or if you want to lose body fat, you need to have a method to measure body fat. So just making sure that there's something that can give you feedback on the progress is super important.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I set up, just to give you an example, so mine specifically was that I want to improve, you know, being around like-minded people, my friends, and kind of pour more into those relationships. So something specific that I came up with is that I'm going to put on the calendar every month at least one activity that I have planned, whether it's going to coffee with girlfriends or like our glam girl retreat in February in Arizona, where we're hiking Camelback Mountain and hanging out and having girl time. Things like that, I'm going to make sure that I'm intentional. And so by making them measurable, saying that I'm going to do it once a month, that way I know if I fall short, I did zero. And if I did two, then I kind of exceeded that goal. So some other things are achievable and realistic. Do you want to take those two and kind of apply it? Or do you want to kind of share like what you were, some strategies that you're going to implement for restorative? I know you had a really good one.
Yeah. So there's a couple things that I want to do. I definitely want to make sure that, so time was like a big thing for me. If I don't have time available, then I can't plug in these restorative practices. So definitely making sure that I'm setting boundaries within my work schedule and within my school schedule allows me to put in things like, I want to be able to foam roll and stretch for 5 minutes every day, or make sure that I spend 5 minutes warming up before my workout. Something that is like directly applicable and is realistic for me to do within my schedule. If I put in there, like, I want to do an hour of yoga twice a week, I know that's not realistic for me. Based off of my schedule, and it's almost becomes intimidating. So like small little changes like that, I think, are important. And another thing was, you know, I'm working on getting onto the pro stage again next year. So my posing is really important. So I was actually talking to Amy about what is a realistic way for me to really step up my game with my posing, but also fit within my crazy schedule. And she had made a great suggestion, you know, realistically, to be good on stage as a professional athlete, you need to practice every day. So, all right, so we're taking that in mind, like, we need to be consistent. But within my daily activity, how much time can I really devote to that every single day? And she recommended just, you know, a couple minutes in the morning, going through your routine every single day. And she actually implemented this herself. And it really made a difference for her. So I'm totally feeling that and taking my coach's recommendation and doing a couple minutes of posing every single day. So yeah, you just want to make sure that your goal can actually be achieved within the time frame that you have available.
Yeah. So that brings us to the T, which is time sensitive. So for her, you know, for your goals, you're kind of going to do it like every day. But for somebody else, like that has a weight loss goal or a body fat percentage, not only do we want to be realistic that we can achieve it, we also want to be time sensitive. So it's important that we kind of take into account, like, if we're trying to lose inches, for me, I recommend to my clients that they lose a quarter of an inch either in their waist or their hips every week. That is realistic. It's also time sensitive and it's very measurable. If they are going for a weight loss goal or a contest prep, it's much like how we reverse engineer for a contest prep. We determine how much weight needs to be lost. Let's say it's 20 pounds and they have 20 weeks, then we're going to average about a pound a week. And that's something very specific. It's very measurable. You may not hit it every week, but these are kind of realistic ideals. You know, you may exceed it by 2 pounds or 3 pounds, and you may go less than that, but you kind of know. When in regards to body fat percentage, I know that I talked about on the previous podcast that it took me 4 months to lose 1% body fat. That was coming from a very lean state. So if you're starting at a bit higher body fat percentage, which is the case for me, like in April, I lost about 1% every month. I actually did an in-body scan just because it's more cost effective than a DEXA. And I literally lost 1% every month. So it obviously slows down. That's another reason why we need to make sure that we're being realistic with our time frames, because Absolutely. It really does depend on where you start. So if you're, if one of your goals is a health and wellness goal and you kind of want to measure one of those three items, those are some good kind of rules of thumb to follow. As far as all of that goes, once you make your goals, so you've reflected on the year, you kind of have honed in where you want to be, I suggest that you kind of just brainstorm, keeping in mind all 10 categories that you reflected on. And most likely that one that was low, throughout this whole brainstorming process, you're going to probably find the one thing that will push you towards hitting the rest of the goals. There's going to be one goal. It's kind of like that 11th goal that if you really focus on that one particular thing, it will help you. It will bleed into those other areas of your life. Much like Chris was saying, like just making sure that she takes time to slow down and plan. That's going to bleed into all of aspects because she's going to be able to make time for those other things. So once mm-hmm. you have your list, then I think it's important to just kind of put some little words next or little letters next to them. And I'm going to go over what those are. So D is for discipline. Clearly, if you had a wellness goal, especially like a body fat percentage or something like that, it's going to take a lot of discipline. So you're going to put a D next to that. Maybe that's, you know, hitting your macros daily within 3 to 5 grams every day. That would be really specific. It'd be very measurable. And you would need a D next to that because it's going to take great discipline. Some of your goals may require money. So let's say you're like me where you want to travel to Australia. So I'm going to put an M next to that one. That one's going to be my restorative and hobby. But I'm going to need an M next to that. So we were kind of chatting about earlier how Chris is able to foam roll every day. So she wouldn't really have to put an M next to that, but she would put a T next to that because it is going to take a little bit of time every day. If you were, and then the other letter is S, so that represents skills. And this one, I particularly, it jumps out to me as like, if you have a personal growth goal, like let's say your goal is to get a certification or, something like that to kind of like improve your overall, like personal development. So you may have to put an S next to that because that's going to require some skills. It may actually require the M as well, some money. You may have to invest in your personal growth, and then you're probably going to have to put a T next to it because it's going to take some time. So kind of break those down that way. Do you have anything to add on any of those breakdowns?
No, I think that really helped me to kind of look at like what is it going to take to achieve the things that I want to change. So I definitely felt like that was an important part.
Awesome. So hopefully you all found some value in this today. If you did, we would sure appreciate it if you were able to leave a review and a rating, especially on iTunes. We just do this just to give you guys value. And so if you enjoyed this episode and you got something out of it, please pass it on to a friend. And by leaving that rating and review, it allows more people that are interested in the sport of bodybuilding and living the prep life to find our podcast. So keep with the DMs and the sweet notes. That just fills my heart so much. It really keeps me going to want to do this every week. And anytime you tag us on your stories, it's so appreciated. You can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast, and you can also find us on Instagram at Glam Girl Bikini. And if you would like to apply for the team, you can click on the link in the show notes to apply. We're always looking for some hardworking unicorns. So if one of your goals is a bikini competition, I suggest and encourage you to click that apply button. And that is on our website, glamgirlbikini.com. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.